We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. WynnBET is now live in all these states, and the excitement of Wynn Las Vegas has finally landed in online sports betting and casino play. From boosted parlays to live in-game betting odds on every major sport, WynnBET gives you the tools to win. Sign up today for your risk-free $1,000 sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit wynnbet.com to start winning.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Dynasty Tradecast on the RotoViz Radio Network, brought to you, of course, by Blue Wire. My name is Dan Sanio, and I'm going to hop back into the hosting duties, the official ask the questions, try to lead us to a path of success, even though usually it's failure. That's why the person across from me on my lovely television screen here normally does the leading, because he could lead anybody to water and make them drink. Nathan Powell, how are you doing this evening?
I am lovely, Dan Sanio. I'm ready to start this series that we came up with 8 minutes ago. I'm excited.
That's what we do. We do it best. I was thinking about it today, thinking about kind of how chaotic or weird the quarterback landscape is, because I feel like we've had a really big influx of young, what should be talent at the position. But it just feels like the same old guys, like the same top 12, 13, 14 every year now. And, you know, occasionally we get that extra bump in there, but it just feels so steady at the top. And a lot of these guys that people had high expectations for aren't really doing things. Some guys that are way overperforming, potentially could not have a job next season. So I think it's a good time to start this transition to kind of, as we are a dynasty show, into kind, not necessarily off-season format, but stuff that's maybe a little bit more actionable down the road, but something that you can get a head start on. So we've got a couple of things pulled up here. One thing I do want to mention, we try to keep RotoViz tools implemented into our show as much as possible, obviously, because this is a RotoViz show, but something as basic as a point summary, an easy place to go to see how many points guys are scoring, where you can sort the list, you can do all of this stuff. So if you go to rotoviz.com, you click on the drop-down tabs at the top, it says in season, and then you'll look and you'll see NFL fantasy summary. You can sort it by weeks. You can sort it by position. They have different scoring applications, all sorts of different stuff. It's wonderful. It makes it really easy to do an activity like this where we want to be able to compare points and ADP and kind of put that all together and kind of figure out what we want to do with these guys. And maybe we're missing something or we missed something along the way where we were watching games, but we didn't necessarily see these guys putting up these points. So, Nathan, have you ever dove in and seen this application before on the site?
I have not. I always go to my random, fantasy website that I use and go to the top performance player stats. But I will tell you, there are a lot of critiques of that website, and mainly it's the interface. The interface on the RotoViz Fantasy Points app is sexy.
It is about as clean as it gets. It's super easy to use. The points are right there. You don't have to go chasing down reports and finding different things. Everything is right there. So we are going to do some QB report cards. We're going to talk about guys all over the board. We don't have any particular way we listed this. It's just guys we find interesting that we wanted to talk about and maybe give you some extra thoughts on them as well. So we're going to start out with somebody that I was kind of touting all offseason, a guy that is kind of perennially undervalued, you know, and he's got all the weapons you could ask for, an offensive line that's been playing much better as of late. And that, of course, is Kirk Cousins, currently in PPR scoring, which for quarterbacks, pretty much all of the scoring is the same unless you're going with some crazy outlier scoring. But he's QB9, and to be honest, didn't feel like he was being drafted anywhere near QB9 for most of the offseason, most of any of the last few years. He's, what, 33, 32 years old, something like that. He's got an elite young wide receiver in Justin Jefferson. He still has what it's continuing to be a very productive Adam Thielen. Obviously, Dalvin Cook on the sideline now, but still have Dalvin Cook there. Nathan, was Kirk kind of someone that just kind of slipped through because of like the whole COVID business and maybe Minnesota's offense wasn't going to be what we thought? Or is it just something that we got wrong or some people got wrong?
Well, Kirk Cousins, for most of his career, especially his career with Minnesota, he's perennially been a guy. He's cheaper than his fantasy points. We talk about that year after year with these veterans that they're consistently being drafted below where they are scoring. And currently in November ADP, Kirk Cousins is going at QB 22. I could have guaranteed you Kirk Cousins was going to score higher than QB 22. And yes, I know there's age and yada, yada, yada. But Kirk Cousins is the QB 11 in points per game, QB 9 in points overall. And the main concern with him entering the season was, is Mike Zimmer just going to give Cousins and Madison 35 carries a game? And that hasn't really been the case. I think that is partially due to Dalvin Cook injuries, and it's partially due to game script where the Vikings, like, they've played some poor games and they've been behind in some games. So with Cousins as a fantasy asset, I would say, and like, I'm not, from the report card standpoint, I am not saying this based off, like, obviously in terms of value, he's an A+. He's almost, you know, he's a QB 11 when he was drafted at QB 22. That's value that you can't, you know, diss. But I could have told you in September that was going to happen, that he was going to be like a top 15 quarterback. So I will give Kirk Cousins a very solid B. I'm going to give him a B because he hasn't done anything that I wasn't expecting him to do, but he hasn't underperformed either. So that's why I think he has a solid B there.
Well, let me help you upgrade your what should be an obvious A, because Kirk Cousins has been a QB1 73% of the time, according to RotoViz's weekly stat explorer this season. That's impressive. He's only had one game where he wasn't a QB2 or better. So 91% of the time, he's a QB1 or a QB2, which, I mean, that should be the case for Kirk Cousins.
It's two-thirds of the league.
but 73% of the time, he's a QB1. That, and when we're talking about a November ADP of QB22, there's absolutely no way that should be the case. I mean, somebody like Ryan Tannehill, who we may or may not talk about a little bit later on, is going at QB18. That, to me, is absolutely awful. And to be completely honest with you, I'm taking above Justin Fields and Trey Lance. I get the youthful, you know, the upside, all of that. I'm taking him over Trevor Lawrence, believe it or not. I probably wouldn't take him over Mac Jones because I feel like New England has something figured out with Dink and Dunk Mac. But Cousins is, I mean, he's got a clean line to all of the fantasy points. So I think Kirk, based on performance against his ADP, is one of the easiest values we've had in a long time. And it's kind of been the same few guys that keep doing this. It's like a Matthew Stafford, Derek Carr, what used to be Matt Ryan was always like this, where you're getting QB1 value for low-end QB2 prices. And it's honestly, it's kind of a no-brainer, especially if you like to load up on position players first before you attack that quarterback position. Okay, so we will slide into probably the most controversial quarterback on this list and in the entire quarterback landscape, and that's the Philadelphia Eagles' Jalen Hurts. Nathan, I mean, we know the rushing upside is there. We've always known it was there. That is his bread and butter. We see him throw the football, and it almost looks like no one's ever asked him to throw a football before. So what are you doing, and what are you kind of hoping in the future with Jalen Hurts?
Yeah, I think we found out pretty quickly, and something that we were probably projecting before the season was, as long as Jalen Hurts is the starter, he's going to be good for fantasy. And that has been the case. And he doesn't have, or at least prior to the Minshew trade, he had no real backup. He had Joe Flacco. Now he has Minshew, but Minshew hasn't sniffed the field at all. But Jalen Hurts, he is at QB4 overall in scoring and QB7 in points per game. And in terms of his dynasty value, it's just, it's very hard to, you know, really project him as a long-term starter. And that's not because of his age. Obviously, he's, you know, he's in his second year. But his ability in positive game script situations has shown to be minimal. Like, it's taking until you get into that negative game script where, you know, you're down a bunch of points, where he is, you know, eating up that garbage time a la Blake Bortles in 2014, 2015. So I do worry about the long-term sustainability of his production, but it's still like, as long as he's playing, he's good. So in terms of his grade for the 2021 season, I will give him a C+. He hasn't cemented his legacy as the quarterback of the future. Some may say he has. I don't agree with that, but he's been very good for fantasy. So if he had shown a little bit more ability in outside of garbage time, he could get himself into the BB+ area. But I just don't have much faith long term because of how poor he has played without the garbage time.
Well, and actually being under center and asking to throw the football, he's been completely miserable. And to be honest, he's completely destroyed that offense. It's either Jalen Hurts or it's nothing. And that is not, at least how I would assume, that is not how a front office wants their quarterback room to be kind of operating. Is, well, he can run, so let's just hope that works. Now you have a running back room that's getting absolutely nothing. A very promising wide receiver in Devonta Smith, who has been hot and cold, pretty much alongside Jalen Hurts whenever he decides he wants to try to make a couple throws, and Devonta's on the other side of that. But one kind of surprising, because he has been scoring so high, but he does have three games over 30 points in standard PBR scoring. He's actually a QB1 less, fewer amounts of times than Kirk Cousins. One less time, one fewer game under in that point threshold. So I think obviously where he was being, you know, where he was being drafted versus his ADP and now his point outlook, he, in my opinion, was a redraft asset. I didn't think he would make it the year. I also didn't think that the Eagles would go and get Gardner Minshew. So I think there's a better chance Minshew starts more games next year than Jalen Hurts.
You're still on this train? I don't know about that.
Jalen Hurts is terrible. Like, I get he's a really good athlete. He can run fast. Awesome. The Eagles are going to be bad as long as Jalen Hurts is their quarterback. I would love to see him transition to a wide receiver or a running back role and like actually do that, because he could be useful, but he is not a quarterback. He is horrible. Like, people were like, oh, he's going to be kind of like Lamar Jackson. And even though Lamar Jackson threw like 19 interceptions this week, Lamar Jackson is worlds better as a thrower. So I would say D+ for Jalen Hurts, because he's real bad. I had small hopes.
He's the QB4. He's QB4.
Bad. I'm talking about future. I get all of this, but the future is not bright for Jalen Hurts as far as just getting the points, obviously. But I think about if he wasn't able to run, then obviously we'd be having a very, very different conversation. So Jalen Hurts, I would assume on his way out, obviously very, very useful for the time being, but I would be looking elsewhere if people are going to be offering you top 10 QB pricing on someone like Jalen Hurts. I am definitely taking that and running. Okay, we will move on to our first and probably only rookie on this list. I mentioned him a little bit earlier, referred to him as Dink and Dunk Mac. That would be Mac Jones, New England Patriots, kind of lucked into kind of what we all maybe thought would happen. And Mac, I would say, has been good. I don't think he necessarily has been great, but he's pretty much just doing what New England's asking of him. A lot of short work, but that makes sense for what New England has from the playmaker standpoint. He is QB 15 overall. I think that's probably fair. You know, he's right there with someone like Joe Burrow.
Dan, are you sitting down for this? He's QB 15 overall. He is QB 26 in points per game.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's the thing. He's dink and dunk. He's still a rookie. They have zero weapons outside of the running backs, but obviously that's not going to do a whole lot for Mac Jones from the throwing standpoint. He's been fine. He's protected the ball decently well. He's only got 8 picks versus 16 touchdowns. And I think that's more than reasonable, especially for a rookie. And the
Pats like to run in the red zone. He's not getting a ton of passing opportunities in that red zone.
Very true. And he's going value-wise right with Kirk Cousins. I think that's two quarterbacks that are being severely undervalued and should be leapfrogging quite a few of these guys. I don't know how Mac Jones is still going behind Trey Lance and Justin Fields. He should be equally valued with Trevor Lawrence at the very, very least. I mean, situationally, this is massive. So what are you doing with Mac Jones here, Nathan? And do we think that some improvement maybe with pass catchers is going to lead for a huge leap? Or are we kind of always going to be stuck with this dink and dunk type quarterbacking?
No, I think that he'll evolve as a quarterback. He'll get better in years 2 and 3. His floor is showing that he's very, very good, that he's going to be, you know, I said Jalen Hurts hasn't proven he's the quarterback of the future in Philly. Mac Jones is clearly the quarterback of the future in New England, if that was any sort of a doubt. He's a future NFL starter. He's a current NFL starter. And for me in fantasy and dynasty, that safety, like when you're talking about the conversation between Mac Jones and Trevor Lawrence, I'm still leaning Trevor Lawrence, but I like the safety of Mac Jones so much that like it's getting a lot closer than anyone expected, you know, in June, July, August. Like this is getting crazy. So while I do think that to an extent we do try and hype up his rookie season a little bit, from a stats perspective, he's been fine. You know, he's not, you know, winning you any championships in 2021, but that doesn't mean he's not going to in 2022. So that's why on my report card, Mac Jones is getting an A. He's not getting an A+ because he's not winning you a championship, but he's pretty dang good.
Yeah. Again, based on where he was going in rookie drafts and startups, the sorts, it's hard not to give him an A. And it, like you said, he's almost guaranteed, almost locked in as the quarterback of the future. And when you consider the price to acquire quarterbacks, especially in super flex and 2QB leagues, this is important. It's impressive. You have to be able to get in and find guys that have high floors and capable ceilings. I don't think Mac Jones has the highest ceiling of any of the rookies. I don't even think it's close, but he most definitely has the highest floor. And I don't think that's close. And to be honest, his floor and you know, someone like say Trey Lance's ceiling are miles and miles and miles apart, but Trey Lance, Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence's floor are all just approaching zero. We've seen nothing. And Zach Wilson as well, who his ceiling and floor are pretty much the same number, is about 0.2. that's not looking good. But yeah, I mean, when Mac was first starting getting drafted in rookie drafts, he was going way, way late, like 18th roundish, if I'm remembering correctly. And a lot of people didn't have a ton of faith. And now we're just kind of seeing that we were all pretty much wrong. I think Mac most definitely is the quarterback of the future. And we just hope that they add playmakers and pass catchers to help him and maybe open up some downfield passing, because I don't think that he can't do it. I just don't think the offense is built to do it the way it stands. So, all right, that'll wrap up our Mac Jones talk. And before we move on to our next report card, let's sneak in a quick ad with our lovely, the one and only Nathan Powell.
Well, hello out there in your radio world. This is your host, Nathan Powell, telling you to get involved with RotoViz. You heard these stats, these fantasy points per game. You got screeners at the yin-yang and the woo-ha. RotoViz, RV Radio 2021. If you don't have it yesterday, today, or tomorrow, I'm going to be upset, okay? I'm not going to be mad. I'm going to be disappointed. So get your RotoViz, your radio on, support the podcast, do what you got to do. Help the kids. It's for the kids.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/BlueWire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
We won't be mad, but we will be disappointed. That is a million times worse. So just go get your subscription. All right, let's move on to everybody's favorite last name because it's super easy to pronounce. One of Nathan's favorites, Tua Tagovailoa. He has been playing, I don't necessarily want to say lights out, but he has been playing quite well aside from the Baltimore game and maybe... the Buffalo game, but
this is a lot of caveats going on here.
Well, the two Buffalo games, he was, well, one of them he got hurt in, I think. Anyways, Tua has been playing quite well, especially over the last month and a half or so. When healthy, when on the field, he has looked like he's kind of getting it figured out. And obviously having Jalen Waddle there is massive. So Nathan, do we think Tua has turned a corner here? Do we think that this is a sign of brighter things to come? Or is it maybe, hey, you played the Jets and a damaged Carolina Panthers team the last two? That's the only reason.
I've talked a lot about so far about, you know, the future and the prospects. And we talk about that with Dynasty. It's how it is. And the biggest thing for Tua and Tua's career is the Dolphins are winning games now. I believe they've won four in a row, maybe three in a row. And that is huge for Tua's career. If they had gone like 3-13, 3-14, 4-18, whatever the math works out to, they're drafting a quarterback in the first round. Granted, they don't have their own pick. They have somebody else's pick. But basically, if Tua didn't work out in 2021, then they're drafting a quarterback. It looks like Tua is starting to put things together. He's not, you know, playing lights out Mahomes or anything like that. But kind of like Mac Jones, he's playing just good enough for his team to win. He's making the plays he needs to make. He's not going above and beyond, but he's not as poor as people were, you know, saying he was earlier on in the 2021 season. So I'm big on Tua. I think that the wins have helped his future. You know, he's putting a few solid games together, and now that he's healthy, you know, it is what he is. So he's just below Mac Jones in points per game, 16.8 versus 16.73. And I think that he has secured his job for at least another year. Now people are going to say I'm an idiot for saying Jalen Hurts isn't safe, but Tua is. But draft capital.
Well, and kind of a little bonus here. When he's playing bad teams and bad defenses, he's quite well. When he's played Jacksonville, Atlanta, and New York, he's been a QB1. The other games, we won't talk about those ones. I think for fantasy purposes right now, he's been a little bit underwhelming, but I do think he's starting to move his way into it, to get more comfortable. Tua's a pocket passer. I don't know why people like always thought he was going to be out running like Russell Wilson bits and like having 6, 8, 10 carries a game. That was never Tua's game. Tua's a pocket passer. That is what he does. So I think as we see him grow, as we see that connection with Jalen Waddle, which is an awesome, awesome combo, and Mike Gesicki, and maybe they bring in a capable running back and maybe some other weapons end up working out. But I think there is a lot of promise to Tua, and I do think that a quarterback 18 value in November ADP is a little bit light. I feel like you're able to make some swaps maybe for older guys, get a little bit younger at the position, hope that Miami continues to grow and get better. And, I do think that that's the case for Tua, that he is going to get better. I still am going to be in that B range, but it very well could move into like a B plus, A minus, if he continues to progress and get better, because it feels like every week he's getting better. He has 3 games this season where he's completed more than 80% of his passes. That by itself is an impressive feat. So I think there's still a pretty darn high ceiling for Tua. I do fear that the floor is a bit low. However, based on his price, I'm willing to take
the floor has risen in the last 4 weeks
for sure. Without a doubt, his floor has gotten it's gone tenfold, but it's still pretty low. But it was also zero prior to this.
Yeah, and as far as my grade, I'll give a B minus with a very easy opportunity to be a B plus by the end of this year. He has an opportunity to close this year off strong, and Dolphins aren't going to the playoffs. Really, they might be on the in the hunt graphic because the AFC is so bad, but. Tua is playing well enough to secure his future. So that's why I put him in the B minus range.
I like it. I also like the next quarterback. I like him so much that I'm going to preface this with, I'm going to have a moderately warm take to finish off the report card segment for Cincinnati's own Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow, obviously with the addition of Ja'Marr Chase, Joe Mixon finally being what we thought Joe Mixon was going to be for the last 15 years. T. Higgins still existing. Tyler Boyd coming up from the JV roster every once in a while to kick in. He's looked really, really good. I guess that's probably not a huge surprise to most. He's just kind of holding his own. He hasn't blown the doors off the place quite yet, but he has been pretty darn consistent. A couple of bad weeks, but every quarterback's going to have that, especially coming off of a major injury. So, Nathan, are we ready to put Joe Burrow up in that elite quarterback rankings, or are you still kind of he's in the second tier?
Yeah, I am not ready to put Joe Burrow there. I was ready to put Joe Burrow there on draft day when they drafted Ja'Marr Chase, yeah. And Ja'Marr Chase has been great, and T. Higgins has been struggling with injuries. But I'll be honest, I was expecting more than 4 games so far this season above 20 fantasy points. I was expecting 20 fantasy points every week. Granted, that might have been an unrealistic expectation, but I was expecting more than a QB 14 overall performance from Joe Burrow in 2021. I do think that, things can work out with how young this receiving core is, but at this stage, I was expecting more in 2021. So I'm going to give him a B minus, bordering on a C plus, because I just was expecting more. And maybe you say my expectations were unrealistic, but I don't think they are when they have the talent that they have on that roster.
I think those expectations are very realistic. I'm going to correct you and tell you that he has 6 games of 20 points or more and another one at 19.3. Week one.
What am I counting?
Week 1, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Are all 20 points
okay,
or more.
Well, I was looking at that other service I was talking about earlier because I couldn't figure out how to do it on this. Anyways, there you go, Dan.
Four services. Anyways, he's been a high-end QB2, low-end QB1 pretty much all season, a couple of bigger games mid-season, or I guess best mid-fantasy season in Detroit and Baltimore, where he was over 25. Obviously, ideally, we're looking at those more consistently and maybe, you know, only missing out on big point games, you know, once every 3 weeks or something like that, getting into that Patrick Mahomes stance. But I kind of mentioned that I was going to make a moderately warm take. I have him at the bottom of the top tier. I think with this offense and the promise he has shown, if he stays healthy, he's got all of the ability and chance to stay right there with Patrick Mahomes. We need health, obviously, with the pass catchers and Burrow himself, but the consistency is starting to get there. He's had a couple of tough weeks, but again, he's still young. He had a major injury that he's coming off of. So in 2022, I think there's going to be a genuine conversation at the top with Mahomes, with Kyler Murray, with Justin Herbert, where Joe Burrow is going to belong, and he's probably going to be leapfrogging some of those guys.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not like saying Burrow's bad by any stretch of the imagination. I'm more so saying I was expecting a peck higher than QB 14, which I don't think is crazy.
Sure. No, and again, he's had three pretty bad weeks, which has contributed to that. And, you know, you don't want to play that. Well, if you take those games out, then, you know, you take everybody else's bad games out. But he has been really consistent outside of a couple of just tough games. So I'm going to give Joe Burrow for right now a B+. I would love to get him an A, but I do think that his price tag being drafted was pretty high. His ADP remains pretty high. And he's not exactly scoring for that kind of price tag. But I think the ceiling is great, and I want to believe that he's only going to get better.
All right, let's go to our last one.
Okay, and we are going to we're going to finish tonight's quarterback report cards off with the biggest I would assume the biggest blunder of everyone's quarterback rankings over the last 12 months, give or take. And going into 2021 with the assumption that he was going to be pretty cheap points. And the only thing he's been is pretty cheap. Ryan Tannehill has done, I want to say absolutely nothing. Well, not absolutely nothing. He's kind of existed and probably scored more points than we think. But I'm having a real.
He's had two good weeks, Dan. Two good weeks. Two QB1 weeks. That's it. Two.
And I'm just having a real tough time valuing him because he's been kind of consistent with his point scoring. He's been above 20 points, I think more than Joe Burrow has, but he's not looked good doing it. And these weapons can't stay on the field. He's only been a QB1 twice, like you said. And has never scored a bunch of points. His highest scoring game is 23.9. I just feel like there is no ceiling as far as somewhere to reach. His floor and his ceiling are the same line. He's just
sure.
Plateaued.
We were expecting that, according to the season, we were also expecting that floor to be a lot higher.
Right. I will say, though, with no Derrick Henry, the passing output should be significantly higher, not having AJ Brown or Julio
Jones. It hasn't
been, though.
He's been terrible
it's
since Henry left.
Been awful because now they can focus on Ryan Tannehill, who is a very mediocre quarterback. He's above replacement level, but I mean, he's not great. So this is a tough one because I want to believe in what we saw last year for sure. And obviously having Derrick Henry freeze things up in the passing game so much more. But over the last month, he's thrown 4 touchdowns and 6 interceptions, and it's been pretty ugly. That game against Houston where he threw 4 picks, I'm sorry, that's one of the worst football games I've ever seen from a single quarterback, right alongside with what Lamar did this week. But he still won a game. So
QB wins
hashtag QB wins. So Nathan, I mean, are we bailing on Tannehill? Do you think anybody's even buying? Is he worth stashing?
I mean, that's the problem, is like in terms of like a buy sell, like I guess he'd be a buy, but like not really. Like he'd be a startup buy more than a draft or more than a trade buy. But even then, like in terms of like my report card, my grade, it's a D. It's a D. Like if my kid brought home a Ryan Tannehill on their report card, I would be rather upset.
Yeah, that would be that would be not great. So I do think there is some future potential. Obviously, with Derrick Henry back, this team is very, very different. But I mean, he's being outscored by like Trevor Siemian and Carson Wentz and Taylor Heinicke. So it just kind of is what it is. The one positive, since nobody else on his team can stay healthy, is that Ryan Tannehill has stayed healthy. He's played in all of the games and been there for everything. I think he's one of like two or three quarterbacks that have made 12 starts, obviously without the bye week, that factors in there a little bit too, but I would say it maybe just best to hold Tannehill and hope for greener pastures, but I'm not exactly convinced that he's ever going to be a QB1 where he was at one point being valued. I do think he's scoring somewhat close to that as a overall points perspective, but week to week, he's very mediocre. So Ryan Tannehill for me is going to be a C-, even though he's scoring okay. I just feel like the ceiling's not there for him to be worthy of a higher grade. Okay, well, we thank you for listening us to the blabber and talking QBs. We're probably gonna maybe do this every other week, maybe do it consistently, get some report cards going. We'll talk about other positions and kind of lead us closer to the off season where we can really start diving into rookie content and maybe some Devy stuff. We've got endless opportunities, but we would love to hear of ideas from you guys as well, so you don't think you're getting bored listening to us talk about the same thing all the time.
Absolutely. Dan just needs to get his Brian Kelly takes off. So he's desperate to get him off.
Going to need those Brian Kelly takes. All right, kids. Be good. Stay safe. Nathan, hit him with the outro.
Kadosh.